You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Firestone Destination AT2. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Go to TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen.
It's up, it's up.
And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What is up, Straight Fire fam? It's me, Jason McIntyre, Straight Fire, for Monday, April 29th. A great weekend in the books, unless you're a fan of, the Phoenix Suns. Just a great weekend for sports fans. Just so much happening. I had to spend, 7 hours at my daughter's volleyball tournament, and I was able to watch the games on my phone in my car while icing my ankle. I'll tell you about that shortly. And just the amount of craziness trying to sift through what happened with the NFL draft and the NBA playoffs have been absolutely chaotic and bonkers. And then you've got the NBA playoffs. I mean, everything is just going crazy right now in sports. The sports world, things are good. And the soccer team that I'm a minority owner in, Necaxa, we made the postseason. We were not able to, it's a similar setup to the NBA playoffs where there is a play-in and we were in the 8th spot. We got passed, so now we're in the 9th spot. We'll host a playoff game and then we'll go from there. Play-in's never fun, but hey, we're happy to be there last in the table last season. I thought we would start, before we get to the NBA playoffs, I just want to put a bow on the NFL draft. Obviously, the Michael Penix thing was huge. And I just, I consider this a football podcast. That's our primary thing, football. And gambling and a lot of basketball, college and NBA. But I just love football. And I'm literally going team by team through the picks and seeing, this team got a little better. And you can't do it all in one weekend. Anybody who thinks they're doing that is crazy. But going through some of the teams and whether or not they filled needs, it just reminded me how, dumb mock drafts are. They are stupid. And how even stupider, those aren't even smart words. But the uselessness of grading drafts. Everybody knows Mel Kiper's been doing this forever. Mel Kiper gave everybody an A or a B, and he gave one team the Michael Penix team, Atlanta Falcons. Oh, I'm sorry, the Browns got a C+, and the Broncos got a C+, and the Vikings got a C+. Oh, I guess Titans as well. And then the Falcons got the lowest grade, a C, okay, which is the lowest. Nobody got a D, nobody failed. Meanwhile, I'm almost certain 2, maybe 3 GMs. I don't know who they are, just given the numbers. 2 to 3 GMs will get fired based off whiffing on somebody or overdrafting somebody. It happens all the time. All the time. So don't believe any of these grades you hear. I mean, listen, Rob likes to find interesting guests. We had a former Jet scout on last week, and he was hyping the hell out of Spencer Rattler, who's his QB1. And there was chatter that Spencer Rattler, and by I say chatter, I mean his agent leaking stuff to reporters who will take anything, that Spencer Rattler was climbing up draft boards and he could be an early second round pick. Maybe squeeze in late first. Who knows? But likely second round pick. after Bo Nix went 12th, Spencer Rattler was the next quarterback taken at 150. Folks, Spencer Rattler, second round my ass. He plummeted. And there's nothing wrong with that. And the other kid, Pratt from Tulane, who had been talked about as a second or third, he went even after Rattler. We're talking about late round picks here. 5, 6, 7. Now, I know the counter. Jay. Tom Brady went 6th. Brock Purdy went 7th. Relax. Yeah, anything could happen. No doubt about it. Spencer Rattler could be quarterbacking the Saints in 3 years for all we know. Okay? I mean, Derek Carr hasn't delivered. I mean, there'll be a new coach, and the new coach, well, the new coach and GM, let's just put them together. If they don't make the playoffs, they're probably both gone, right? And then there's a new coach who didn't draft Spencer Rattler, and then who knows? He's probably toast. So, I don't put a ton of stock in these grades that you're going to see from every website. I just basically go through what I believe. And again, I'm not one of these guys who was like, oh, I absolutely love this kid, so they drafted him, thus they had a good draft. No, I don't operate like that. That's silly. Yes, I like some of these guys. I did like the wide receiver that Denver got, Franklin from Oregon. He's a good player. I'm surprised he fell to the 4th round. That doesn't mean I think the Broncos had a great draft, you know? I don't get too worked up about the draft. I do love it, but I don't get too, like, invested, like, oh, this means a whole hell of a lot to the season. But it is a great, great, like, okay, season ends in February with the Super Bowl. Then you've got, like, the combine. Then you have the draft. And next big tentpole event will be the schedule. And the offseason will continue. And, like, it's just really smart and wise how the NFL spreads this out. Obviously, free agency was big. I'm sure, you know, once camps begin, there'll be some drama somewhere. It's just football is essentially 12 months a year at this point, maybe with a little hiatus in the summer. I'm not ready to go super hot take with my playoff teams based on the draft and free agency. I'll have them, but I'm not ready today. And that's mostly because the NBA playoffs this weekend were absolutely captivating. Your boy played in a soccer tournament, probably the final soccer tournament I'll ever play in, because soccer was my first love growing up, and the tournament was Saturday, and we kind of got shafted. I'm not going to get into it. Bottom line, we make the semifinals and lose. But literally in the first game, I go on as a sub maybe, I don't know, 5 minutes into the game. And literally 90 seconds after I enter, I'm hustling back on defense, and this guy winds up to take a big crack at goal. And I'm like, oh man, he's in position. He could score. So I turn on the afterburners, and I essentially stick my foot out to block it, and the guy sends a rocket off my foot. And folks, I'm telling you, I went down as if I had stepped on a landmine and I lost my foot. It felt like it was just dangling there. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm dead. I can't walk. And then, you know, you shake that off initially, you go to the sideline, like, okay, I maybe could play in the second half. And then, of course, you know, you're on adrenaline. I didn't take the boot off, as they call it in soccer. I left it on tight. Did a little running. I wasn't super effective. Second game, also not that effective. But at that point, like, I had been resting up, and, you know, I go on to score 2 goals in our third game, and I kept us in, and we didn't win. We go to the semifinals, and at that point, I'm literally walking, hobbling. But when I'm running, I'm on pure adrenaline. So I end up sitting out a lot in the semifinal loss, and I start calling on my phone, and this is how incredible technology is. I'm on my phone playing in a soccer tournament, and I just call up the NBA game, and I look at the score. I'm like, wait, what happened to the Cleveland Cavaliers? They're down 75? What's going on here? And then, you know, it's like, oh, okay, I didn't really miss much. And then, of course, Saturday goes on. You come home, and I see what I believe to be is the craziest stat in the NBA playoffs. And we'll talk more about the Lakers later. But, folks, if you haven't seen it, in the fourth quarter of the Lakers game, and this is what I'm building up to is essentially a lead. The Lakers, and this is not hyperbole, have dominated the Nuggets in this series. Yes, they're down 1-3, but the time leading in this series stat, the Lakers are at 136 minutes in the series. Denver is at 41, and they've been tied for 14. The Lakers have been leading the bulk of the series. They just can't close it out. And in the year where we've seen more 20 and 30-point comebacks than ever before, Hell, we almost saw the Mavs pull one off Sunday, down 31, come back and take the lead in the final minute. I'm not ready to say anything's done. Now, I was going to open the pod this morning with Phoenix isn't done if the Suns had got it done last night. Because listen, this is a Suns team that can get hot. Obviously, Phoenix could not get it done, pooped their pants. We'll get into it later in the week, I think, once there's more time. But the Suns get swept by the Timberwolves. The Lakers are still alive. So that whole narrative about Curry's gone, KD's gone, LeBron's gone. It's not official yet. The Lakers obviously have another chance tonight. Like, are they going to win? We'll see. We'll do best bets at the end of the podcast. But they are playing tonight. And, you know, all these Laker fans, the LA Times is starting to, they're saying, why can't the Lakers have a shot? And Rob, I'm not going overboard in this Lakers hysteria, but they could have folded up like the Phoenix Suns did. Down 0-3 at home. Just said 1-2-3 Cancun, we out. Phoenix played no defense. Anthony Edwards torched them. It is embarrassing. Suns are really in a terrible spot. You could have seen, I'm sure you guys saw it last night, Bradley Beal kind of wave off his coach. Bradley Beal, awful game, fouled out. And then goes to the sideline. Coach sticks his hand out and he just is like, get out of here. Like, waved him off. It was kind of bad. We could have seen that from the Lakers. We did not. Now, Rui Hachimura, Rob G's guy, got hammered. And I think he was chained to the bench the entire fourth quarter. They rolled with Taurean Prince, the veteran, who's been a subject of much scorn and derision in Laker world. But listen, Darvin Ham pushed the right buttons. And in late in the third, when he went with the dumb lineup that I hate with no LeBron and no Austin Reeves, I'm like, bro, what are you doing? They cut it to seven. And then it was like Gabe Vincent three, D'Angelo Russell three, Taurean Prince three. And like, that's been the difference, right? In the other close games in the third quarter, those would miss and Denver would come down and score. And I'm not saying the Lakers are going to win the series. I'm just pointing out facts. The Lakers have dominated this series. That is a fact. There have been 16 quarters in the series. And the Lakers, if this was like boxing, and it's not, the Lakers would have the technical decision by winning more quarters. And Rob, I'm not saying they're going to come back and win. I'm just saying to this point, and again, they're down 1-3. But the Lakers have been the better team in the series, true or false?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I want to side with you on that one, but the fact remains is, up until game four, every game followed the same script. Lakers get ahead. Lakers comfortably leading at halftime. And then a tidal wave of Denver Nuggets baskets comes in the third and fourth quarter. So it's nice to say that you're winning the whole game, but if you are repeatedly gagging it away, it's hard for me to say that you've played better than the other team.
I'm going to disagree with you. It's a fair counter. I mean, listen, obviously when it matters, winning time, all that fun stuff, yes, Denver has been more clutch. But Rob, you know, I'm not making excuses. They finally snapped the hex. We're talking about a fluky Jamal Murray shot away from this being 2-2. We're talking about a comeback for the ages. Not for the ages. It was an impressive comeback. They were down, I think, 22 in the second half. In the third quarter, I think the Lakers were up 22. And, you know, Denver's relentless, but I'm just going to say, Denver, I know, listen, obviously they're the defending champs. I'm not taking anything away from that. I'm just being a realist. This is not last year's Denver team. We said this coming into the playoffs, right, Rob? We were like, listen,
yep,
Lakers should get at least two. Sure, Aaron Gordon has an amazing game. Michael Porter has an amazing game. Jamal Murray, yeah, he hit a game-winning shot. They don't have a bench. And I know Peyton Watson, oh, man, he's a block shot artist and he's athletic. Yeah, I get that. Let's see here. Yeah. Game four, Nuggets bench, 5 points. Yeah, that's right. 5 points and five fouls. Wouldn't you know it? They don't have any pop coming off the bench. And, I'm not saying the Lakers bench is any great shakes, but last year Denver had Bruce Brown, who was, super hugely, important to them. I think the league kind of knows what Christian Brown is. They're not afraid of him. I don't know. I think the Lakers.
And Jeff Green. Uncle Jeff Green is old, but he is a solid playoff rotational player. And we'll see what happens, you know, later tonight when the Lakers go back to Denver. I'm expecting Denver to get the job done. You know, it's just them at home is a great advantage and a short rest travel day, especially. But very quietly, I don't know if you saw this on Sunday morning, it was reported that Jamal Murray is questionable for Monday's game with a calf strain.
Maybe they should rest him.
You know, but I expect he's going to play. But we've seen now with Giannis this year, all the way back to Kevin Durant with the Phoenix Suns, or excuse me, with the Golden State Warriors. Calf strains are nothing to play around with because any little tweak can turn a day-to-day injury into a week-to-week injury, a week-to-week injury into a month-to-month, month-to-month into a, God forbid, an Achilles injury. I don't want that to happen to Jamal Murray. I'm not saying he should sit out, but if there's any kind of concern about the stability of his calf and if there's any kind of legitimate issue there, you got to be very, very nervous if you're a Nuggets fan.
Yeah, I mean, and listen, you mentioned Giannis. They're not forcing him back. Down now 1-3 to the Pacers, especially with Dame Lillard now out, it looks like. It feels like it's a wrap for the Bucks. I don't think they're going to dump Doc Rivers, but I don't really care about the Bucks.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I do want to talk, Rob, about this Knicks thing. And listen, there's a lot to get to. So I don't know. I feel like, I mean, Knicks, Mavs, those games are incredible. Suns, but we don't want to stretch this over an hour. I just need to drill down and remind people what I've been saying about Jalen Brunson now for a couple years. He is an incredible basketball player. And I don't think I've ever been more proud to be a Knicks fan than watching game 4 in my car on my phone, ice in my ankle, which is swollen and I will not play in a semifinal basketball game tonight, kind of pissed. Watching Jalen Brunson basically go right at Joel Embiid. Embiid tried to act like a tough guy, like a 1980s goon or a 1990s goon in the NBA. And like he threw a shoulder shiver with the arm extended to Brunson in the third quarter. The Sixers were up by 10. He threw that shoulder and was like sending a message like, oh, I'm here, I'm tough. The Knicks dominated the rest of the game. Embiid didn't do jack squat. Joel Embiid, another vanishing act in the fourth quarter. Okay? Zero baskets. 1 point in the fourth quarter. And I know. Oh, well, Jason, come on. He's been hurt. Joel Embiid's been injured. He just doesn't have the legs. There's always an excuse for Embiid. Nobody gets more excuses than Joel Embiid. People love making excuses for him. Maybe one day they'll stop. I don't know. And people love to disrespect Jalen Brunson, who, for my money, should be first team All-NBA. For my money, can be the number one player on a championship team. No, I don't care what Becky Hammond says. And yeah, that's right. I know Becky Hammond stands. I guess there's a couple of those. She's the one who said, you can't win a title with Jalen Brunson as your number one. You need to go out and get someone else. Excuse me? You feel like a dumbass now? I know. You've coached at high levels. You're a great basketball player. Becky Hammond, I get it. But the disrespect, don't think you're ever going to coach in New York. I mean, give me a break. New York fans, they've all seen it. They heard the clip. You can't bury it. We all say dumb things. What you said about Jalen Brunson was idiotic and moronic. Jalen Brunson has more heart than Joel Embiid will ever have. And anyone who continues to parrot this false narrative that, oh, you can't win with a small guard, stop it. All I've been hearing, Rob, listen, I love Kevin Durant more than anybody. Huge fan. All of it. Oh, you can win a title with Durant as your number one. Really? He couldn't win one anywhere as a number one. Then he went to Golden State, partnered up with Curry and Draymond and Klay, and won two titles. And so, can you win a title with Durant as your one? I don't know. People have tried to do that everywhere, and it hasn't worked. And he can't get out of the first round. Jalen Brunson, he was number two in Dallas. He's unequivocally the number one in New York. And he's out taking down another guy who I've been told for years, you can win with Embiid as your number one. He was an MVP. Really? Can he get to a conference finals? It's just excuses all the time. I don't know. He's got a good coach now, Nick Nurse. Nick Nurse is drawing up plays for Tobias Harris in the final 2 minutes. What? What's happening? Folks, that fourth quarter, I was taking notes in my car. The thing that sucks about watching like the app while you're like getting into a basketball game is you can't like put out stuff on social media, and then you can't really take notes. You have to close. I have to close out during a commercial, and then I have to scribble. Here's some of the notes I have. Oh gosh, Rob might have to delete a board here. The Knicks have been star fuckers for years. They chase Melo, KD, LeBron. They always get rejected. They have a star in Jalen Brunson. Who wants to be a star in New York? Then the next one. Sixers missed their last 11 shots of the game. This is how bad the Sixers were. So Kyle Lowry missed the second free throw on purpose, and it was like a good miss. But he didn't communicate it to his two teammates behind him. They didn't come to get the board. Now, there was some Knicks fans in the lower bowl making a lot of noise. Joel Embiid went on to say he was pissed that so many Knicks fans were there. But there are some people saying that Knicks fans made enough noise that Lowry couldn't communicate to his teammates that he was missing it on purpose. Philly, 6-for-24 shooting in the fourth quarter. And I have not seen, and again, we talked about this last week, Rob, heart and hustle. Remember when the Clippers were like, who was it, Montrezl Harrell, who shockingly is like out of the league, Lou Williams, not Paul George. It was Montrezl Harrell, Lou Williams, and a couple of
guys. Pat Beverly.
Pat Bev. And they pushed the Warriors, the KD Warriors, with Curry to six games. It was like heart and hustle. They were on billboards all over L.A. I mean, the Knicks better get some billboards because nobody chases down offensive rebounds like these New York Knicks. It's just so crazy to me that in that stupid athletic survey, Tom Thibodeau was the coach people least wanted to play for. Well, probably because he makes you work hard. I don't know. I mean, Josh Hart, right? Josh Hart can't miss clang two free throws late. You're like, Josh, come on, bro. You're 0 for 7 and you're missing two free throws. Then you look at the stat line. He had 17 rebounds. He's 6'5". OG Anunoby couldn't make a three. Defended Embiid. Played 47 minutes. 16-14. I mean, folks, that game had so much going on. Rob, I'm rambling now, but a new playoff franchise career high, 47 for Brunson. 10 assists, one turnover in 44 minutes. Heroic stuff.
Yeah, it was incredible. And you know, I got some snide comments in my social media accounts after game two when I said, if you are a New York Knicks fan, you have to feel great. I know you're up 2-0 and that game two win was kind of fluky, you know, but Jalen Brunson at that point was 16-55 and you were up 2-0.
That's right.
In the two games in Philadelphia, he's shooting 31 of 61, averaging 44 points and 12 assists a game. My brother, like, Jalen Brunson has shook free of whatever cobwebs that were existing there in New York. He's shaken free of whatever defensive schemes that the Philadelphia Sixers are throwing at him because he is getting to whatever he wants. And the thing what made Sunday's game more impressive is he did it without a whole heck of a lot of help. I mean, you mentioned OG Anunoby played basically the whole game, and that's good for him. But if you look at the rest of their roster, I mean, Josh Hart, 0 for 7, got 70 big rebounds, but Dante DiVincenzo, 3 for 11. Like, he didn't have anyone he could lean on, Jalen Brunson, that is, to carry any more of the offensive load to help him get this team over the finish line. It was Jalen Brunson going left, Jalen Brunson going right. Jalen Brunson, the top of the key. No matter, everything that they did was because of him. And now, for what seems like the 10th straight season, Joel Embiid and the Philadelphia 76ers are going to head into the offseason, it feels like, at a crossroads. Because Joel Embiid, for all of his gifts, all of his regular season accolades, has once again shown that he is just not quite a playoff performer. Now, people might say, well, look at game three. Game three was unstoppable. He did all the one leg and half his face was frozen. 50. And, you know, he had like 50 points, right? And then you look at the other games, because that's the outlier, right? The 50-point 13 of 19 shooting in game three, that doesn't happen with him. The other games, game one, 8 for 22. Game two, 12 for 29. Game four, 7 for 19. And as if the shooting splits weren't bad enough, it's how he's coming to those shooting splits. Joel Embiid is listed at 7 foot, 280 pounds. And for whatever reason, his style of play, especially in this series against a physical team like the New York Knicks, he plays like he's 6'5", 220. He wants to step back, shoot jump shots. Never really wants to bang in the post. He's almost allergic to mixing it up in the rebound department. He's only gotten double-digit rebounds twice in this entire series. How on earth can a guy that big, that strong, that powerful consistently get bullied by the New York Knicks front line? We've talked about this now going on a couple of years, it feels like, on this podcast. As once the Philadelphia 76ers can accept that Joel Embiid is not a number one, they'll be much better for it.
You think they would even consider trading Embiid? I'm guessing no, and Daryl Morey will be like, oh, he was injured, blah, blah, blah. We have a max space spot, blah, blah, blah. I don't think there's any way. But I'm being honest. Like, Rob, if you said, Jason, you're building an NBA team, would you rather have Brunson or Embiid? In a heartbeat, Jalen Brunson. I'm sorry. In a heartbeat. And I know it's not like Brunson's carried the Knicks anywhere. He did win a round last year. But you look at the rosters. I mean, we can mock Tobias Harris all we want. If you're saying, who are you taking top eight in this series? Most people would say Joel Embiid. Then some people might say Brunson. Then people are going to say Maxey. And after that, I'm not going to lie. Like, Tobias Harris's contract and his shooting ability, I'm not saying a lot of people, but what guy on the Knicks are you taking over Tobias Harris? Now, like, you just can't tell me OG Anunoby for sure. You can't. I mean, if Tobias Harris can shoot the basketball. He's not in the series, but he's capable of shooting. There's a reason he keeps getting big money contracts, you know? I don't know, Rob. This is stunning. Kyle Lowry's won a title. He's a veteran. This Sixers team should be embarrassed. He's got deep pants at home by Jalen Brunson. I just love it. Yeah, I don't know. All right, we went long on that. Mavs, Clippers, I don't have as much on the Mavs. And at this point, Sunday, you know, Saturday I said I was watching, and then Sunday I'm icing my foot in the car, but also courtside of my daughter's volleyball match. And of course, this goes way over, 2 3-set matches. And I'm in the corner watching the Mavs come back from down 31 at home to the Clippers without Kawhi. And me and another dad are watching, and afterward, my daughter's like, Dad, what were you watching on the phone with Eric? Or Mr. We don't say dad's first name. We say Mr. But I was like, oh, Mavericks, Clippers. She's like, oh, who won? You know, I was like, I wasn't paying attention. I was watching you. Trust me. I was watching you. That game was just bonkers. And that's the kind of game that leads me to believe the Lakers have a chance to come back. I'm not saying win the series, but come back. I don't think the Lakers are done. Because of what we've seen, Celtics, crazy stuff happens. You know, somebody gets nuclear from three. I mean, Miles Turner went 7 of 10 from three on Sunday. Miles Turner, a center. And I don't think that's fluky. He's got good form. But anyways, the Mavs, essentially, and I've got to cop to this. Luka's not having a good series. Part of me thinks, A, Luka thinks he should have been the MVP. B, Luka's owned the Clippers in the two series despite losing. And C, Luka just, you know, he's kind of read the clippings and thinks it's a wrap. Now, Kawhi missed the game. I don't see how he's coming back anytime soon. You're against two playoff chokers in Paul George and James Harden. I think it's gone to Lucas Edna. He doesn't look as locked in offensively. He's had his moments. He's played good defensively. But Rob, he's shooting 38% from the field, 26% from three. And like the counting numbers guys will be like, oh, he had a triple-double. I mean, everybody gets a triple-double now. And he's averaging 29, 9, and 8, which are good numbers. But he's not dominating. The best player on the Mavs in the series? You can't argue with me, Rob. Kyrie Irving. And some people say Harden's been the best player in the series. I think Kyrie Irving has been the best player on the court in the series. I still think the Mavs have it. Paperclips went volcanic from three. I chuck it. I mean, disappointing that the Mavs could not get that win and go up 3-1. Yes, I did lose money on the game. I don't know, Rob. I have zero concern the Mavs are advancing. Then again, I thought the Suns were going to come back from down 0-2.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I don't want to, you know, what's the opposite of tooting your own horn? But I had Suns in seven before the series started. Like, there's wrong and there's way wrong. And I was way wrong on that one. The thing about Luka is weird because I agree with you. I don't think he's playing his best basketball at all. I've been very underwhelmed by what I've seen from Luka Doncic outside of spurts. And yet, I looked at the Game 4 box score. I know the box scores and everything, but I looked at the Game 4 box score. He played 45 minutes. In those 45 minutes, the Mavs were plus 10, which means in the 3 minutes he sat, they were minus 15. You can say all you want about him not playing well and him not having a Luka-type series, and that's fair. But it's also true that he is still the guy who makes that team go. No matter what, he is the one who could, because outside of Kyrie Irving, they don't have guys who can get their own shot at all. Everybody has to be set up. They have to be spoon-fed. And nobody, you know, outside of maybe the Joker, can spoon-feed a guy quite like what Luka does. And as far as James Harden goes, I've been very critical of James Harden over the years. I was critical of James Harden as recently as like a week ago when I thought he was shooting too many threes in game two. He is very, very quietly having a phenomenal series, though, for the Clippers.
Fair.
I still disagree with his style of play. I don't think you can win long-term playing that ISO ball style. But that ISO ball style closed the game for them in game four. And it was him, top of the key, one-on-one, making the plays that ultimately led to them getting the victory. And in the series, 26-7-4, very good, especially for him, on 54-55-91 shooting splits. This is not just a one-game Joel Embiid outlier either. Like game four, he was good in game four, but it wasn't like some freaky statistical anomaly. You know, game one, 8-for-17. Game two was his off game, 6-for-14. Game three, 7-for-13. Game four, 12-for-17. James Harden, I'm not going to say he's turned back the clock.
Wow.
But he is performing well above my expectation from coming into this series.
Let me ask. I don't have it in front of me. Do you remember last year against Boston with Philly? He was great early in the series. I think he had two 45-point games.
Yes, carried he was great.
And what happened late in the series? Ran out of gas, lost interest. I don't know what it was. I'm waiting for that shoe to drop. So I'm still pot committed to the Mavs. Before I get to Anthony Edwards, Rob, I totally forgot to tell you, I did do a player points pool for the NBA playoffs. I think we may have talked about it. I hate my team. I won last year, so of course I was talking some shit. And I got, 7 out of 8 this year, so it stinks. So my first pick was Jrue Holiday. Obviously, it's not just best players. It's who's going to stay in the playoffs the longest. That is huge. If you can give me the fourth or fifth leading scorer on a team that's going to the finals, you're probably going to win. And last year, I had Aaron Gordon and someone else who was on the... I forget. Someone else on the Nuggets. I had maybe Michael Porter Jr. But... this year, I got Jrue Holiday first. Then I got Kyrie second. Another reason I'm so glad Kyrie's going off. Tyrese Halliburton third. We're not going to do Pacers, but they're up 3-1. They should close things out in Milwaukee. Donovan Mitchell, series shockingly 2-2. I can't believe it. Should have been 3-1, but the Cavs have gotten destroyed. Then I tried to get a Phoenix Suns player because I thought the Suns could go to the finals. I got Grayson Allen. He turned an ankle, Rob. He has like 6 points in the playoffs, and they're now out. So that obviously will hurt. And then my last pick, which I'm so embarrassed about, is Tobias Harris. I took a dump on him earlier.
Oh, jeez.
I forgot I picked him. Now, there is a guy who picked Durant, Lillard, and Beal, so he's totally screwed. Someone had Booker as his second-round pick. Jason Tim has Tyrese Maxey. But a lot of these guys still have – it's really who can have players last the longest. And I'm guessing the guy with Anthony Edwards is leading. That would be Sean Herlihy, who works for the Peyton Manning Company, I think, whatever they're called. Omaha.
Omaha.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. So Anthony Edwards, Rob. Instead of going after KD today, we'll save that for tomorrow. Everybody's going to go after him. So if I tag him tomorrow, he probably won't see it. If I wait a day, maybe better chance of him coming after. Let's just say some positive stuff about Anthony Edwards. So this is insane. He's 22 years old. He had another 40-point game because apparently that's what he does in the playoffs. And after the game where Anthony Edwards, by the way, he had a dunk late. He just detonated, just destroyed the defender. I don't know if it was Royce O'Neal or Beal. Who, so he cooked somebody. And then just flies in like that angled Jordan dunk. Kevin Durant, for a moment, went up to challenge and then was like, business decision. Ant finishes with 40, hit 7 threes. Tremendous game. Just a reminder, he's 22 years old. And Rob, I fondly remember... I'm not going to say, I don't want to go out. You know, let me be positive. We had an NBA draft analyst on the show a couple years ago. And Anthony Edwards was in the draft. And it was, I think it was LaMelo Ball, right? And then there was a big guy. Who was a big guy?
And Wiseman.
No, Wiseman. And there was chatter, does Anthony Edwards really love basketball? Do you remember this?
I do.
Yeah. And I was like, this is crazy. Look at him at Georgia with like no teammates. This guy's amazing. He just swept KD, shooting 51% from the field, 43% from three, 83% from the line. That is Curry-ish, 50-40-90. He's approaching the 90%, 83%, not bad. And he averaged 31 a game, closed him out with a 40-burger on the road. And that leaning dunk with KD cowering brought memories to one Michael Jeffrey Jordan. And I'm not prone to Jordan comparisons, but I'm telling you, we're saying this now. This is going to go out probably, 5 a.m. Pacific time. I guarantee you this will be a talking point. Anthony Edwards is Michael Jordan reincarnate on shows and podcasts and everything the rest of today. That is going to be a storyline. Is it fair? Of course not. Come on. He's 22 years old. He won a playoff series. But this was clearly, Rob, a passing of the torch, a handing off the baton, whatever you want to call it. Anthony Edwards, who graduated, Rob, I hear last year from Himothy University in the offseason.
That's right.
I have a feeling Anthony Edwards ain't going nowhere. And I'm just saying right now, if the Nuggets don't close out the Lakers tonight, extra rest for Minnesota, maybe their coach gets knee surgery if he needs it. It looked like a bad collision.
Torn patellar tendon.
Torn patellar. Oh, yeah, that's not great.
That's tough. His availability will be questionable moving forward.
Yeah, he's going to be in one of those scooters.
Right.
Rob, I don't want to overcompensate because I picked the Suns, but I'm just saying it right now. Matchup-wise, this is not great for the Denver Nuggets. Okay? Now, I know they're just going to pull Rudy Gobert out, but I'm just saying right now, I wonder if Denver watched that game and was like, damn, who the hell do we have to guard Anthony Edwards? Like, who are you going to put on him? Don't tell me KCP. And I like KCP. I don't see it. And you've got a rim protector in Gobert. I think this is and Jaden McDaniels is an awesome defender. Gave Booker fits for three games. I don't know, Rob. Anthony Edwards as Michael Jordan. Obviously, it's hyperbole. But, man, he body-wise, age. Jordan wasn't doing this at 22. That's for sure. Not in the playoffs.
No, yeah, and I will be the first to admit that I was one of the people who was questioning the idea of drafting Anthony Edwards number one because I read that article where he came out and basically said point blank that he does not love basketball like that. Like, he's like, I'm good at it, so I'll keep doing it, but I believe he said his first love was football, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, and he loved baseball
That was his passion. It wasn't never basketball. But he brings a certain attitude that I love. Especially in today's NBA, because in today's NBA, everybody's friendly. Everybody, you know, hangs out with each other in the off season. They work out together. They're all, you know, at the same parties. They're all rep by the same agencies. And you mentioned the dunk, and that was a great viral moment over Kevin Durant. The moment that stuck out to me, though, was in the waning seconds. Devin Booker is going up for a shot, and Ant Edwards blocks it. And the game's over. The series is over. 4-0. Walk back to your bench. Move on. Take care of business. No, Anthony Edwards kept talking to Devin Booker, just like he kept talking to Kevin Durant after game one and game two. Like, that's exactly what I want in my basketball players. I want you to be a little bit of an asshole. I want you to have a healthy hate for the guy across from you, at least during the game. You can be complimentary after the game, before the game, whatever. But when those 48 minutes are on and the lights are on, I don't need to see you smiling. I don't need to see you, you know, afraid to throw a hard foul at somebody if the moment calls for it. Like, I maintain one of the reasons why the Lakers have an upper hand over the Warriors the last few years is not just that they have like a physical advantage with their size. It's that Draymond Green is too friendly with LeBron James. So he doesn't do the goonery stuff to LeBron that he does to everybody else because they're too chummy. And he doesn't feel right to do that kind of stuff. Anthony Edwards is not here to make friends. Anthony Edwards is here to dunk on you, and he's going to tell you about it. So for him, I'm anxious to see how it maps out with Denver. Yes, even as a Laker fan, I'm willing to concede that Denver eventually is going to wipe us out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a little bit different. I know that you said that you don't like KCP as the primary defender, and I would agree with that, but Phoenix doesn't have any wing defenders at all.
None.
Period. And between KCP, and I imagine Aaron Gordon might get a lot of minutes on him, and they'll just put Porter Jr. on Towns and just live with the three-point shooting. But he's going to face a much stronger resistance in Denver than he did against Phoenix.
I mean, listen, I should take it back. Assuming Denver gets by the Lakers. I mean, listen, I'm clearly rooting Lakers.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
The only thing better than sitting on your couch watching the game is making money while you do it. Here's your best bet.
We can wrap up with some best bets. Let me call up the lines here. Pacers were a big, big winner. As soon as Dame went out, I bet Pacers. I posted it online. And then I in-game bet in the first half and then double bet again. It was very clear that Milwaukee was going to run out of gas, and they did. But tonight, if you adhere to the zigzag theory, Miami is going to be live tonight in play because they got, I mean, wiped off the map by Boston Saturday. I don't think you can touch Pelicans, even at home getting five. I think the series is over. Zion Williamson ain't coming through that door. I would expect another Thunder 10-point victory. That series has been, like, unwatchable. And I don't know what to do with Lakers-Nuggets. I honestly, part of me is like, okay, bet Denver first quarter. They're going to come out with a purpose, and they're going to say, we lost. Let's show these guys who we are in Denver first quarter. Lakers, I don't think they're backing down. I don't think LeBron's ready to go out like that. Anthony Davis, D'Lo, Reeves, like, I don't know, but I don't like betting on Lakers Nuggets because I can totally see a blowout here too. I do think, yeah, I think Thunder are safe at -5. And I don't know, Heat Celtics, Rob? Miami, can they be competitive? I mean, they basically made a billion threes. I would give them all the layups they want, right? You don't really have a rim protector. Go ahead, guys, drive in all you want. We're not giving you threes. That's the only way we lose. So I would lean, I don't like the double digits. So maybe you get fun with like a Thunder Celtics money line parlay. I don't know what that would pay. But I don't know, Rob. I don't have an appetite for Lakers Nuggets.
Well, I'm first choosing a way to stay. I'm choosing to stay away from Celtics Heat because the last time I bet on them, they ruined my parlay.
That's
and I
right.
was going to cash big time. And because of their style of play, because it's a high variance team, they're going to shoot a lot of threes. They're going to make a lot of threes. But on the nights when it's not hitting, they don't really do much else. Like, and you allow a team like Miami, who is scrappy, who's well coached, to at least cover the spread. Unless it's, you know, game two, then they win outright, right? So I'm not touching that one. The other two games, Thunder's Pels, Lakers Nuggets, I go to a website called VegasInsider.com. Yeah. And what they have is a ton of different books and what their posted odds are. There's some people, I'm not going to say who, but they are just doing a terrible job of setting these lines. Like you mentioned Thunder -5. I see places as low as -4. I see some with a juiced up 4.5. And then I look at the Lakers line. Most of them are hovering right around 7.5. There's one book I'm looking at has all the way up 8.5.
Huh.
And the same sports book that has the Lakers 8.5 has the Thunder at 4.5. That to me feels like I'm going to take advantage of whoever's running that sports book. And part of gambling, you know, this is not just necessarily about who you like, who you don't like. It's which sports books you're willing to take to the cleaners and who can give you the best numbers.
Yeah.
So in this case, give me at this specific sport, I'm not even going to pub them because I think it's a disrespectful line here. But let me get the Thunder -4.5 and let me parlay that because I like to bet a little, win a lot. Lakers +8.5.
Ooh.
I'm not saying Lakers are going to win, but I'll take the 8.5.
And maybe Jamal Murray no shows.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe he's limited. Value. We'll see.
All right. That's it for a long Monday pod. It was a great weekend. I don't think I'll need crutches. I don't think my foot is broken. It's just swollen. I posted a pic on IG and I got so many texts from friends like, oh my gosh, that looks bad. I'm like, you know, it's not that much pain. I just am limping. So just ice up. As Steve Smith once said, ice up, son. Talk to you tomorrow.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.